My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a
railway station?
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is about to go down. We're talking about training camp. We will be there starting tomorrow. Actually, we'll be at Hooters during our show. But the Morning Shift Steakhouse, Andy and Randy will all be there tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. And we invite you guys to come out and hang out with us at Mall
Hooters,
of Georgia.
Hooters.
That is where we're going to be. And we expect to see all of our regulars. But if you've never come out and hung out with us, your boys, we'd love to get a chance to see you guys the next few days. Mike, by the way, real quick, how excited are you? Now we're here, man. I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks upon weeks getting to training camp. Everything's lining up, right? The only thing I don't know if we know, and maybe we'll find out tomorrow, the health of Kirk Cousins.
Right. And I know a lot of folks out there said, and I heard you guys yesterday about that controversy, no controversy. I just want to see Penix in action. I just want to see what the kid can do. I can't wait to see him in preseason. And you're right. Want to see Cousins. Want to see all these big dudes that we drafted in the middle of the third round. How's that secondary going to hold up? And it's funny you ask, because today there was another one of those lists that had Falcon fans upset about the top 100 and this and that. Because there's nothing to do right now but come up with lists for NFL writers, other than a few holdouts here and there.
No doubt.
But I'm ready to go see some real football, at least balls being passed and caught and guys blocking it. Let's see what we got on this team.
I agree, man. And we'll be keeping you updated, guys. We're going to be your eyes and ears. Again, fans, unfortunately, and we're going to miss you. We'll miss you. You won't be able to participate and be at camp this year because of the construction and stuff that's going on. They do have a couple of open camps. We'll talk more about that. One of them, Mike and I, will be at down at Mercedes-Benz. That's going to happen next Friday on August 2nd. But we'll get you all updated and caught up on that. I got to mention this because I know it affected a lot of people. And yesterday we had a staff meeting. And we were in the middle of this meeting, literally almost at the end. And Orin, were you in there where my phone kept going off, acting stupid?
All three times it went off, Carl.
Okay, you didn't have to say that. So I literally got a text from my daughter who was coming back from Pittsburgh. She went up to visit some friends. And she's like, Dad, my flight just got moved.
Mm.
Now, she was supposed to fly, I think, at like 2. And I said, okay, what time? 10. And I was like, 10? p.m.? There's no other flights? So at that point, I started trying to look, which interrupted our meeting at the end, which is what everybody heard. And I told Conti, I was like, my daughter's going to be stuck trying to figure out if we can get her on an early flight. As we went and looked at all these flights, everything's full. And you guys know why. Because of this issue that happened last Thursday, it was a mess.
CrowdStrike.
Yes. Yeah. All across the country, right? It was supposed to be an update. It wasn't a hack. So she gets to, you know, her gate, and she's like checking in and doing all the things. And I'm like, well, you need to check and see if there are any other flights. Long story short, there weren't. So she had to wait. She was in the airport, and you've been there, guys. Mike and I talked about this. This happened to him in Indianapolis recently. You're just stuck. And so you try to make the best of it. So she did. But she gets on this flight, and Mike, they kept moving this flight back. It was 10. Then it was 10:30. Then it was 10:45. And the reason was, and this has been the big issue for Delta. And listen, we fly Delta all the time. We love Delta.
Right.
But because of their software, they were not able to position pilots and flight attendants all around the country. So you would have a plane waiting on you, but you might have a pilot. Or you might have a pilot, but no flight attendants. So her deal was, we're waiting on these flight attendants to come in from New York. They finally arrived. And I said, oh, well, you know, hopefully they don't cancel this flight. Because the later it goes, usually they cancel these flights. It didn't get canceled. She got on, Mike, and I think the flight was full. The flight she originally was going to take at like 2. There was like 30 people on this flight. And so she gets on. And she's like, I'm supposed to land at like, I don't know, 12, 1 o'clock, something like this. All right, fine. So last night, I get to the airport, and the most amazing thing to me was how many damn people were at the airport at 1 a.m.?
How about all the cars now parked on the side? Nobody wants to use the cell phone lot. I went through the same thing. I don't want to, you know, step on your story, but my cousin was in town for like a couple of days, and he was going through the same debate. What do? Do you try to change flights? Where do you go? But I was up at the airport 3 times over Sunday because his flight got canceled and moved. But he was talking about the insanity inside Hartsfield-Jackson, which by now, as you've seen, has been documented. People sleeping between the moving sidewalks downstairs in those tunnels. I mean, no hotel rooms apparently to find.
Where the plane train is, Trin said to me last night when she got in the car, she said, it feels like a bomb went off because there are people everywhere. There's luggage, by the way, everywhere because everybody's bags are all over the place. So there's luggage that you normally wouldn't see. And then where people decided to just spot up, right? And she's like, I get off the plane train. There are people sleep by the plane train.
Right.
You just don't see that.
Well,
so,
I know that with my cousin's situation, they moved him from gate. They moved him 3 gates, Carl, over the course of like 6 hours. And then by the time they finally think they're getting ready to board, and even they say, hey, guys, we're going to get this plane going before the crew times out. I think the pilot took pity on all the people that were taking the abuse at the front desk. He actually got on the mic and said, guys, flight's canceled.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all hell breaks loose.
It does.
Because, you know, everyone's got a breaking point. And, you know, Delta, as we said, we only fly Delta jets. It's been so reliable. But it's amazing just how many things in our infrastructure are hanging on by a technological thread. And when that thing went down with CrowdStrike, all hell broke loose.
It did.
It's still feeling the effects.
Well, and I had friends today that were supposed to come back from trips. Mike, they were scheduled to fly on Sunday.
Mm.
They couldn't get a flight until today. And there's no guarantee that it's actually going to happen. So I say all that to say, do I look tired? 404-726-0929. By the time we got home, you get settled. Because, again, adrenaline, it's, man, you just don't fall asleep coming back from the airport and certainly being concerned about your kiddo. So it's one of those things where everything worked out. But my heart goes out to everybody, again, that's been affected by this. And there have been people who it's been a blank show. Like, there are way worse off situations than just waiting 9 hours in an airport to get on one flight and get home.
Right.
And I can't imagine, Mike, having to be stranded, no rooms, you can't go anywhere, and you don't know when this thing's going to open up that you might be able to get on a flight, so you just have to wait it out.
And we have a bunch of friends who work for Delta where I live, and we're calling out to the folks that, you know, that do this stuff for a living and know where this is going, and even they couldn't really give you a straight answer, the best you could. But yeah, that's just how rough it is. And now the Department of Transportation apparently says it's going to investigate the whole thing. You begin to wonder just how this stuff is so daisy chained together that you can't have I guess there is no backup. This is it. So at some point, somehow, somebody, I would imagine, a CrowdStrike lost his job. Because nice software on that upgrade.
Yeah, and I guess my question for the folks at Delta is, why are you guys still doing this system when other airlines' systems are different? They were able to get back up, get flights out, and become more available faster. And that would be my only question. As we said, we love Delta, but at the end of the day, why are you guys using this old-ass system that apparently doesn't work and get you back online quicker?
Well, Southwest, remember Southwest just went through this a few months ago. They basically went through a similar but different type scenario, which grounded hundreds and hundreds of flights for them. So either way, it's been brutal. And again, the ripple effects, as we still have friends that can't get to where they want to go, and it's summertime. You want to get that vacation before kids have to go back to school.
All right, guys, we got a lot to get to, including what's going on with with our Braves. And I don't know if we're able to fix all the things. I said it yesterday. I don't do anything at the trade deadline. This is where I've been. And I'm going to stay there because I think you're asking way too much of Alex Anthopoulos. You're going to tell me they're a contender. I'm going to tell you they're not better than the Phillies. You're going to tell me that they can win a World Series. I'm going to tell you that they're not a World Series team right now. But, Mike, it doesn't mean that they can't get to the playoffs. But are you willing to give up resources and take on money to attempt to try to fix this? Because you like to say this about the Hawks. You got to spend.
Right.
This is how you get out of this. And and by the way, I don't know if you can spend enough with the available players that might be available to try to help you this season. I don't even know if you could go out and spend that kind of money.
Yeah, and look, I think we can look at the division. It's only 8.5 back because Philly actually is just kind of playing 500 baseball themselves. They're not actually doing much right now, but this year, it almost feels, and I wrote this on Twitter, and some guys agreed, some guys disagreed, that maybe this is just too much to overcome this year, because you don't know when Michael Harris is going to come back. How is he going to hit the ground running? You know, if you go make an adjustment for an outfielder, do you have a log jam, or you're simply just going to rent a player, Carl, to get you through to October? You know, you won't see Albies back till the playoffs, if we do make the playoffs. Pitching-wise, you know, you're a little nervous about Max Fried. I know you talked about that yesterday. So this just seems like the one thing with Acuna, yeah, you had multiple injuries that year, but you were able to get guys back. I just don't know if you can pull this off. Not to mention the fact that the Mets are gaining on you. Philly, we talked about, despite their offensive woes of late, they're still leading the league in every offensive category.
Hunter Green last night, their pitcher for the Reds, 2 hits, 7 scoreless innings. He was damn good. And this kid now has combined he's given up 2 runs in his last 4 starts. He's legit. And, you know, when you're struggling already and then you face, again, good pitching, this is what we've run into. This is kind of what we've seen. Ozuna does what Ozuna does. He got a couple of hits. Okay. But the Reds stole 4 bases, Mike. They lead the league in that category. They have over 135 or so stolen bases, 43 or whatever it is this year. This is what they do. They get on, they run.
De La Cruz is one of the most exciting players in baseball. Unfortunately, came at the Braves' expense the first game. And look, you talked about the Braves hitting. This could be one of Matt Olson's worst years in baseball. He's on another slump, guys. We had the big slump, got hot, mini slump, got hot. This is the third, technically, this will be the third patch of awful hitting for Matt Olson, who cannot do anything right now.
What do you guys think? Chris Sale on the hill tonight. We're going to let you hear from Brian Snicker coming up. Also, Nacho Alvarez makes his first appearance. He didn't really do anything, but listen, this is bigger than Nacho. He's got a role to play. We hope he continues to hit like he did in Gwinnett, and that's one of the reasons why they brought him up. I thought he had some good swings, but he didn't connect last night. So we'll continue to talk about that as the Braves continue this series with the Reds. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Coming up, we'll get you caught up on the latest headlines, including the Falcons ready to begin camp. And what is the biggest question they're facing? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com. As who are not hitting for our Atlanta Braves, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the Falcons and the questions that loom as camp gets ready to start. We had Brent Key on the show yesterday, too, and we'll play some of that for you coming up at 4, where he talked about the things that he thinks have to happen for his team, including what Haynes King's going to be. He talked about recruiting. Good stuff from Coach Key yesterday as ACC Media Days are underway. Mike, you were just talking about one guy that's not hitting. What are the numbers for this guy?
It's awful. The month of July, with the All-Star break in the middle, 7-for-62 for Matt Olson, which is kind of hard to wrap your head around. 4-for-48. So last year, I get it, you know, the dead baseball, it's not affecting everybody in baseball, but I mean, this is just unbelievable. The OPS is down to 688. It's one thing you're striking out. He's got 5 walks in his last 62 at-bats. So it's just, he's having a bad day at the office almost every day. And he's got Ozuna for the most part behind him.
He does.
So he should be seeing good pitches to hit.
Are you ready to say this is a bad season for him?
It's just, I just don't know how you can go from what he was last year, unless last year is the aberration and the average is. He's just slightly better than Duvall, and he's just a 220 hitter, which is kind of the knock on him coming in. A big slugger, big power numbers, but the average ain't never going to be there. Tough. Just this is where, is this much season, this much sample size says this guy's not coming out of this. This guy's not going to hit some magic. Remember, was it 2 years ago he had a big slump? He came out of it in September. Can he do that this time?
I agree. You're right. At this point, guys, I hate to say this. It's going to be August in a couple of weeks.
This your team.
I mean, come on.
This is your team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I mean, put him up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station, guys. 929 the game. Stay up on everything that's going on, especially with training camp getting ready to start. We'll keep you updated on all the latest news information coming out of Flowery Branch. Big O's behind the glass today, and he's our executive producer. He's doing all the things. Big O, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Well, speaking of the Braves, let's hear from Nacho Alvarez. Mike's been toting this, touting this, should I say, for about 3 or 4 weeks. Nacho! Well, he's up.
I mean, yeah, wasn't the result I wanted, but just went out there and had some fun. It's all I can control, honestly. I mean, I feel like I put some good swings on green and just didn't go my way today.
Hey, man, he's been doing a good job of hitting for average. He's playing shortstop in Gwinnett. My feelings was if Arcia continued to struggle, bring him up and just let's try to get a spark at shortstop. And then obviously the freak incident with Ozzy and his injury, clean break, according to Snit, is got him up here. So, hey, man, Mickey Mantle was 6, Carl, before he was 7. They sent him back down. Rome wasn't built in a day. But, yeah, he'd like to get a hit in his first day up there at the big team. Didn't get it.
We'll see what he has. I think they're going to give him plenty of opportunity, Mike, with Ozzy being out. He'll get his opportunity. And, listen, if he shines, it's a good problem to have, okay? It's not a bad thing. We need as much help right now with the bats as we could get. So, Nacho Alvarez, good luck. Nacho!
Nacho.
Let's hear from Brian Snicker talking about how challenging it's been, to Mike's point, not only about guys like, you know, Matt Olson, but just up and down the lineup. And he says, listen, in years that we've won, we've gone through some of this.
Yeah, it's been very challenging. This year's been something else. I mean, they all are. I say none of these seven-month seasons are ever easy. You go through, I don't care, in the 100-win seasons that we've had, it's been, you know, you look back and it's like, wow. You know, you think you win 100 games, it's going to be smooth. It's never, or never is. This thing is never smooth. It's never easy. You have to battle through adversity a lot. And this has been very challenging this year.
Yeah, and you and I were just talking off the air. What do you do? I mean, the 21 season, we all know that Alex pulled off one of the great coups for all baseball personnel guys. The only guy that really makes sense and rent a player is Tommy Pham of the White Sox because he's got some attitude. You're looking for a little edge if you feel that somebody can come in the locker room and maybe, I don't know, everybody wants that. Remember that Jock Peterson mojo?
They do. Pearls and all that.
But Pham is a badass. You know, he said he takes pride in kicking people's butts. So but it doesn't matter if the dude can't hit. And Tommy Pham coming in here being Billy Badass ain't going to mean nothing if Matt Olson can't get off the schneid, right?
You still need Olson.
Right. Yeah. Brent Rooker, by the way, our old producer engineer, Craig CCV, I was talking to Craig over the weekend. He says Brent Rooker is beyond a butcher in the outfield. You get Brent Rooker, he's strictly a DH. We have Ozuna with an option that the Braves are going to pick up for next year, so that kind of precludes us from going to the A's for the well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just feel like, Mike, and again, this is where I'm at, it's cheaper to keep him, meaning if you let Ozuna go and you want to go get what he's producing this year, what's that cost you?
Right.
Per season.
A fortune.
A fortune. We're talking $30, $35 million, again, for a DH that produces 35, 45 home runs and 100-plus RBI. It's cheaper to keep him. So I think ultimately they're going to pick up that option, and Ozuna continues to roll. But when you get Acuna back, and Kelnick has shown you he can play, and Money Harris is 100%, what are you doing with this outfielder that you're going to go pick up and, again, give away assets and take on money? It doesn't make sense, guys, and I know we don't want to make sense. We just want the Braves to win. Right. But I got to tell you, from a front office standpoint, this is how they're thinking about this. And so that is why I'm saying we got to ride this out and hopefully guys get hot. And the other part of it is get healthy. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves again in action tonight. It'll be Chris Sale on the hill. Meanwhile, guys, camps getting underway, which means there are a lot of storylines in the NFL. Mike and I will tell you more coming up at 3 o'clock in our NFL Blitz. But Aaron Rodgers, Mike, here he is describing that OTAs, I missed mandatory minicamp for my Egypt trip. It wasn't that big of a deal.
The thing that I think people don't understand is that when I was in the NFC North and playing for that team years ago, there used to be a real thing called minicamp where it was you had one of them usually. Sometimes it was right after the draft, but either way, it was 5 practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 2 practices on Friday, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. Now it's not minicamp. they can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want.
Yeah.
Say this is the mini camp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks. But it was an OTA schedule. That's how it's, you know, how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a mini camp when it was really two OTA days.
So, again, his definition of mandatory apparently varies from others. Carl, I do know another word we can give a definition of, narcissist. And I'm familiar with it. A narcissist can basically validate or rationalize any selfish behavior. And I think Aaron Rodgers kind of fits the bill there.
Yeah, he's minimizing the fact that it's still something his coaching staff and his front office expected him to be at.
In a year where guys' jobs are depending on this team coming together under his leadership.
Yeah.
He's even on record as saying, if I don't do my job, these guys will be out of a job. And when you do try to rationalize it, like, all 31 guys that are playing center, under center at quarterback, and some making more money than you, we're all there.
We're all there. Coming up, we're going to let you in on the latest with Jordan Love and his situation with the Packers. He says he will not play. He's there, but he will not play, meaning practice, until he gets a new deal. General Manager Brian Gutekunst talking about that. And also, what are they saying about a Chiefs three-peat? It's all on the way at 3 o'clock. This is our headline segment, again, brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Let me hear Coach Key, who stopped by Dukes and Bell yesterday from ACC Media Days. Mike, here's the deal. Forget about offense. They couldn't stop the run last year. 128th in college football. 105 in third down conversion percentage allowed. 53rd in passing yards and giving up per game. Mike, Georgia Tech was 90th in red zone defense. If they don't get that fixed, that's going to be an issue. Here's Brent Key talking about it.
It's one of those things that we've got to, number one, stop the run. We've brought in some really good coaches. I saw an opportunity to bring some guys in that have a lot of experience, you know, not only in this league but in the region, in the South and state of Georgia, from their great teachers. You know, Jeff Simpson, the D-line, D-line coach, Tyler Santucci is the D-coordinator. You know, to be able to, number one is to defend the run. You know, we've got to line up and be able to, you know, stop the run, and then limit the explosives. We've done a good job of creating turnovers. We can't lose that aspect of our defense. But we've got to become a team that's going to be a, you know, we can't just line up and run the ball, you know, take pride and run the ball. It's to run the ball and stop the run.
He was an assistant, with Nick Saban. He knows what defensive football looks like.
Sure, he does.
He coached offensive line there, but he knows they got to get tougher. They cannot be a dial-a-score team.
Yeah, I just think, and again, he talked about the coordinator and, you know, the new coaches on the staff. This is their biggest challenge. Listen, Haynes King, Mike and I agree. They got an upside going into this Florida State game, at least the start of the season. Schedule's demanding, but the offensive side, I think, is going to be fun. They got to get stops. So that's one of the things he talked about correcting. More on with Brent Key coming up as part of our college conversation. And speaking of that, SEC, right, had their media days. ACC is ongoing as we speak. They had it started yesterday. Mike, today the Big Ten started theirs. And Tony Petitti, who is the commissioner of the Big Ten, you know what he said today? What
did he say?
We're not expanding. Where the hell is Clemson and Florida State going?
Yes, you and I were talking about this last week. I get FSU fans get mad at me. I'm not trying to be Billy Buzzkill. There's nowhere to go but the Big 12. And if you feel you can get, you know, $10 more million a year from TV from the Big 12, unless the Big 12 realizes the value and starts to prorate you at a higher rate, right, which is what the ACC,
sure,
some folks are saying they should do with them as they're presently where they are. Here's the deal with the Big 10. They don't need to add anybody. You heard the SEC, you heard Slive last week. They don't need to ask. Nobody needs to add. The Big 12 might be the only place. And the ACC, there's no one else to get to put in your conference, right? Best you could cobble together was Stanford and SMU and and Cal, who nobody wanted. So it just seems to me, Carl, the only place they could ever wind up is the Big 12. And that's not that big a big deal as far as how much more money you're going to make.
I don't either. I don't think that's worth this struggle. If you're going to do all this, you better go somewhere. Or, Mike, again, they're paying their institutions $70, $80, $90 million a year, which is where it's going to be with the Big Ten and SEC eventually. I mean, Big Ten right now is paying their institutions about $60 billion.
Right.
You know, so anyways, when every commissioner has come out, SEC commissioner came out, we're not expanding. ACC commissioner came out yesterday. Jim Phillips said, we're going to fight like blank to keep our conference together. And then today, the Big Ten commissioner comes out and says, we're not expanding. We're not looking to expand.
Well, I mean, I thought Sankey kind of spilled it out. And he said, look, it's not my job to comment on the ACC last week when you had his comment. I said, Slav Sankey. But Florida State, I think they're doing some of the heavy lifting. What are you going to do? Private equity? You're going to let a bunch of investors on Wall Street run your football team? What if it doesn't win? What if they don't get return on their investment? It just seems to me like you're screwed. You're stuck. If you want to get out, go to the Big 12. UCF has a better payout right now than Florida State. That's where the argument lies.
UCF?
UCF and Maryland get more money per year than Florida State and Clemson and North Carolina.
Wow.
All right, when we come,
that's where the trouble lies.
It's a big deal. Hey, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Coming back, biggest issue facing the Falcons as we get ready to start camp. We'll talk about it next. Their players are demanding trades. You have some teams that, Mike, it just feels like they're in disarray already. Jets. But we don't have any of that drama going on. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So what is the biggest thing facing our team as we head to camp? Like, think about it from this standpoint. Most of you thought we had a really good team last year. And I say really good, take out the quarterback, right? Minus the quarterback. And all of those guys are back. Drake's back. Bijan's back. Offensive line's back. Grady's back healthy. Onyemata's back. Bates is back. Like, if you look at it from that standpoint, you say, well, we're pretty good. Considering if we had a quarterback, I know we would have probably won more games. All those guys are back, Mike. How motivated are those guys to get over the hump and make the playoffs? Forget 9-10 wins. Right. Make the playoffs.
Well, you and I have talked a lot about some of the folks like Drake London, who, you know, when we spoke to him at the first mini camp that he was at, you know, because it was important to him, unlike Aaron Rodgers, that he felt like, you know, there's a level of rep that he hasn't attained yet in the National Football League as an elite receiver because things beyond his control. He's always taken the high road. He's not going to sit there and go, look, Ritter's a bum. I can't get the rock. Even though everybody out there knows he can't get the rock to him. Mariota was slightly better. And I mean, that much better.
I tried to get him to say that about Mariota. You remember? And he was like, dude, I'm a rookie. Marcus kept me on track. He was very professional, but I literally was like, "Yeah, what about when he overthrew you many times?" He didn't go there, so you're right.
He's a consummate pro, but I think he's got an edge and a chip. I think, look, we know these guys all listen. I used to say to Carl, these guys don't give a crap what's said. They all listen. They all see social media. They know what's out there. Pitts has got a lot to prove, too. A lot of folks out there, a lot of our audience feels Pitts is a bust. So, I mean, I think motivation is not the problem. I think the key is, to me, is more about the physicality of our defensive and where are the sacks coming? Where's the heat coming from to protect those cornerbacks?
What do you think it is as we approach the start of camp on Wednesday? Guys report. Thursday will be the first official day of practice, by the way. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up on social media as well. I'm just curious. Like, what do you think? Because I'm looking at some of these other teams and, like, even guys like, you know, Joe Burrow coming off of an injury, right? Mm-hmm. I know people look at Kirk Cousins in the same way, but I look at our team and I go, everything's in order. I mean, Burrow's dealing with T. Higgins complaining about a contract. They're not going to pay Chase.
Right. Burrow's aware that the rep for him is he can't stay healthy.
Correct.
He's become Mr. Glass.
So I think Mike, again, and I do think when he's on the field, they're very good, but I'm looking at our situation and I like what our situation is. We don't have any foolishness or drama going on. The main thing is, and they're going to be cautious with this, what does Cousins' health look like? And, Mike, I don't know if for day one, maybe Thursday we'll get a feel, but, you know, maybe it'll be a few weeks before we actually get a feel on that. And then I think when they go to those combined practices, right, that's when I think we're going to find out what the mobility is and all of that. Because you got to play him in that. If you're not going to play him in the preseason, you got to play him in those multiple practices.
And Coach Rye is kind of on record, and we talked about it with Zach Robinson, that that's where some of the stuff is going to be seen. The fans might not get to see Kirk Cousins, but in that controlled environment, in other words, a jersey you don't hit, don't touch Kirk Cousins in those scrimmages. And I guess a lot of our fans will say, hey, man, Falcon fans, I mean, will go, well, that doesn't tell you he's ready. If you can't avoid moving around in the pocket, well, I just don't think there's any team that would be in the situation we're in with Kirk Cousins going to put him out there in preseason when you got rookies trying to make a football team, trying to get him on the other team.
Yeah, I just don't think it's worth the risk, man. Like the risk reward, right, in golf. Mm. Oh, I can hit that shot. No, you can't. I can hit it over the water. No, you can't. It's not worth it. Lay up and then get the easy, you know, shot. Just, Mike, I don't feel like it's worth putting him out there.
We're playing Baltimore, so we're going to be up there. I would imagine we're going to have a dual camp up there in Maryland. You want those guys getting after Kirk Cousins?
No.
No, sir. But I understand the fans are, like, we will really not be able to see what he really is until that's what makes this thing so, when we talk about everything's a lock, technically Cousins is not, because he's later into his injury than Aaron Rodgers is, 8 more weeks into the season when he had that Achilles. So that's a concern. We just don't know.
That's, to me, the biggest one. And if you're telling me, but we knew that. This isn't anything new. We knew that that was going to be a concern. We don't have anybody saying, you know, hey, I want more loot or any of that kind of stuff. That's where we're at right now. But, yes, if we can figure that out, and I'm sure they have a plan for him. But Jesse Bates led the team last year, 132 tackles. I mean, there's just so many positives to look at and say, hey, these are things we have to build on. And, by the way, I haven't really talked about this. Mike, I love our linebacking core. I think they're going to be really good. The key is, again, health.
Mm-hmm.
And if Anderson can play like we think he can, because we know he can run. But
ain't seen him in a year.
We hadn't seen him. So I can't love on him and tell you, yeah, but I like the makeup of the linebacking core. I think we got some good playmakers at the linebacking position. And then they went out, you know, and I think they added some depth there. And that's something we really hadn't talked about.
Yeah, man, you mentioned JT Bertrand. And I know if you follow Notre Dame, you're familiar with what he can do. But I know the big guys we've added, like Rojo Rowe, you know, and you mentioned some more of the depth on the defensive line. Keeping the offensive line off of those linebackers you just mentioned is the key. But I'm still wondering, like, where's the sacks coming from? Who's going to be the guy getting the corner? Who are we going to be talking about? Are we, you know, really cool as fans? If we're sitting there and the new thing becomes at Mercedes-Benz, row, 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 and we basically do like our own dog thing.
Sure.
If this guy is, you know, whipping people and getting to the, you know, getting through the line and getting the quarterback. But you've got rookies and you've got guys that have shown that they've got promise, but they're not elite pass rushers. So that's why, you know, if there's one thing I've harped on all offseason, I'll continue to, is where is the heat on the passer coming from?
I think here's what I would tell you, and I'm hoping that I'm right about this. 404-726-0929. We're just talking about what your concern is heading into training camp. It will change, guys, as we get to the season, because we'll know a lot more about this team, right? In 3 weeks, we're going to know a lot more about what this team looks like. I would tell you, Mike, Arnold Ebiketie has got to take the jump. And he has shown flashes that he can. 6 sacks last year, but on top of the sacks, he played in all 17 games. That's a plus. He got 6 starts. He had 5 quarterback hurries, 4 knockdowns. He had 25 tackles. My point is, guys, when he was out there, even beyond the sacks, he was making plays. Arnold Ebiketie, to me, if you said one guy, and I think it's going to be more than one, that's the guy I'm looking at to say, you had 6 last year, give me 4, that gets us to 10.
Right. Now, it is a new coaching staff, so maybe they can unlock all of the potential of Ebiketie. Part of the reason, you know, last year he did pop at times was you got Calais Campbell out there and Bud Dupree, 2 proven edge rushers that were having decent seasons despite their advanced age. Calais is still out there playing for the Dolphins this year on a 1-year deal. Caden Ellis was a guy that when you and I were kind of handicapping, you know, and we'll be up at Hooters Mall of Georgia coming up this week. We're doing it last year. I said, I think Caden Ellis will lead the team in sacks. He didn't. You know, that was Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell. He had 7 sacks the year before with the Saints. That dude had 4 sacks for us. That's a guy that looks the part. He can come off the edge, 3-4, go get it, right?
I thought.
Walk him up to the line and go get him.
Absolutely. And, Mike, we thought, too, part of that was going to be Ryan Nielsen. His connection to Ryan Nielsen coming from the Saints, how to use him, okay? Okay, it makes sense. We really don't have those guys off the edge, so you're going to bring more pressure maybe up the middle, and you're going to do more linebacking, blitzing type things. That's what the thought was. Listen, I thought he had a good year, but he didn't overperform in that area where we thought he might. It's going to be interesting, though. But I would tell you that's the guy I'm looking at is Arnold Ebiketie to say, one guy, if you said who's going to have double-digit sacks this year, that's the one guy. Now, if one of these rookies blows up, then forget about it, because now we've knocked it out of the park. And you're getting production from some of the guys that you didn't even expect. If you told me any of these rookies would have more than 5 sacks right now, I'd be willing to bet you money on that. That's fine. But, Mike, what if? What if Bryce, trailing, right. what if one of these guys all of a sudden has 9 or 10 or 11?
Now, you did have Aaron Donald on the Rams, but the Rams basically almost did the same thing we did the year before, where they addressed their edge rush or their defensive line. They did it in the middle rounds. Now, Rojo was more considered a third rounder than a second, but they love his game, so they went and got him in the second. Only time will tell. But Grady's back. And Onyemata, so you're solid in the middle, and hopefully they can provide the same kind of springboard that the Rams got from Aaron Donald a year ago and help those guys all get a huge numbers in pass rush sacks. But we don't know yet. I do know that these guys are bigger. The one thing you and I took from minicamp is we got so much more size, athleticism, and reach in that position than we've had in years.
That's what they wanted. And I'll say this, too, about I said this the night it happened, because everybody's like, who is this guy? Roke can play, man. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm sold that he's going to come in and be effective. I cannot sit here and tell you he's going to be all pro. That's silly. And he's going to be effective in what they're going to ask him to do. But the idea, like, this was a reach, it wasn't, guys. He was the second or third best defense, interior defensive lineman or lineman on the board. So that's what you got. And people I spoke to around the league were like, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. Okay, you think so? Oh, I think that's a good pick. Okay, great. Well, we got to see how they use him. Because, Mike, that's the other part of this. Jimmy Lake is now the defensive coordinator. How is he using all of these guys?
Well, you know, we all know the NFL draft, and some guys, you know, they don't go where you think they're going to go because the way the combine plays or just their skill set. Next, the Falcons felt that Rook Arojo is the 35th best player in that NFL draft. I mean, that's, you know, that's putting a little bit of risk into the game. They see something in this guy. Mm-hmm. Other teams don't.
You said the Falcons thought that?
The Falcons felt. He went 35th. He was the 35th player selected
overall
in the draft.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, that means, you know, he's a top 50 guy, and pre-draft, a lot of the so-called experts, and I said, you know, only time will tell. We're still trying to figure out if Ebikadi was worth the second-round pick. But the point I'm making is the Falcons are, this guy's the 35th best player in football coming out of that draft.
Yeah.
You better be that player, because I don't want to talk about another second-round bust on this team,
no,
regardless of who the GM was.
It doesn't matter at this point. You're absolutely right. And that's the thing. When you roll the dice and you start moving guys on the board, these pieces around the board, you're projecting what they're going to potentially do. And, you know, again, a lot of that has to do with how do they fit into your scheme. I'm excited. Hope you guys are. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bill, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One of the other things, a lot of conversation, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it the rest of the week, is, you know, obviously the secondary. And we'll hear from Coach Ra. We're going to hear from Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator, and how this is going to look, Mike, because I think it's the number one thing. We've gotten to the start of camp, guys. Guess what? Somebody hasn't gotten an extension, okay?
Right.
A.J. Terrell has not gotten an extension. Now, I said to start this segment, we're in a really good place, and the guy hit me up. He said, Dukes, what about A.J.? A.J. told us the last time we spoke to him, he's going to let his people handle that. He's going to go play, but he feels like he's going to be in a position to make plays in this defense with Jimmy Lake.
New scheme.
They're going to give him more freedom. And then the other part of this is it going to be Clark Phillips? Is it going to be one of the other guys we've been talking about, Mike, opposite A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes, D. Alford, blah, 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 Richie Grant, all these guys. Who's that? What's that going
to
look like?
See, that's the thing, because when we get back to the draft, Rook Arojo, he went 35th, and then there was that whole run on that second tier of corners. Mm-hmm. And that gets us back to,
including,
you know,
Philly going after,
Cooper DeGene.
That's right.
The kid from Iowa, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry. SEC Georgia fans know him. Kamari Lassiter. Those guys came off the board like five picks later. And we need secondary. And this, unless, like I said, the new scheme with the new regime is going to maximize this talent, and that's not going to be an issue. But you're right. I do like the fact, though, because this organization, it was the previous one that drafted, you know, A.J. Terrell. Nothing against A.J., but I don't feel yet you have to lock him in.
Let it play it out.
Right now.
Let it
know?
Play it out.
Like we did with Desmond Trufant that last time.
Yeah.
Against True. I just thought, you know,
no,
I just
no,
think,
no.
I never thought it was like, oh, that's a galactic no-brainer. You've got to re-up him.
Well, I think the only thing, and A.J. knows this, and he acknowledged it when we talked to him, the turnovers. Just not there. The picks, right? Mm-hmm. You can tell me from a cover corner standpoint that teams don't throw at him, that he lines up, you know, in most part against the opposing team's best receiver and all of that. But the turnovers are just not there. And Mike, I think if let me say this. If A.J. Terrell had 11 interceptions through the course of his career right now, I don't even know if we'd be having this discussion. Because you would be saying, well, he's a ball hawk. Dude, he gets turnovers. He, you know, he's a guy that has put us in position to win games with big turnovers. Right. That necessarily hasn't happened. So how do you decipher, Mike, him being a great cover corner, but the interceptions are not there? And then how does that play to what you want to pay him? Because the guys that usually get paid a lot of money at that position have interceptions. That's just how it's been.
No, and we've talked so much about, you know, safeties. I mean, nothing against Jesse Bates. Jesse Bates won you games, but we're still looking to the guys that are supposed to. You guys remember Deion Sanders. That's the cornerback. That's the guy that's supposed to be, you know, that big athletic game changer. We just don't get the turnovers. We never flip the field. Hopefully that's going to change with Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris now in charge with the team that he's building, not the team he inherited back when he took over for DQ.
A lot of things, man, going on. By the way, what's up, Darnell? Darnell Mooney. I mean, come on, man.
Well, I mean, again,
Ray McLeod. We got some speed at the slot.
If Kirk Cousins is going for 4,000 yards, we're going to have multiple 1,000-yard receivers. That's one of the things you and I were talking about a few weeks ago. So, yes, sir. I'm not worried about the offense. I'm worried about that pass rush.
All right, guys. We'll talk more Falcons at 5 o'clock during the Falcon Report. Coming up also, I'm going to tell you about something that you can be a part of that gives back to the community and always helps when it comes to giving back. It's a great story. We'll share it with you coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But when we come back, Ja'Marr Chase, deal unlikely this season. So you're going to have two disgruntled wide receivers in Cincinnati playing for Joe Burrow? All right. Also, what did the GM of the Packers say about Jordan Love's new deal? You'll hear it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 again.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.